Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by Ram Trucks. Guts, glory, Ram.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown.
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
All right, well, obviously, I am not Paul Calvisi. You can recognize that right off the top.
No,
I am,
Paul just got a whole lot taller.
Well, I'm sure he's very excited about that.
No, same hair, though. Instead, the same Brillo coming. Interesting.
Instead, this is Darren Urban, normally sitting off to the side waiting for Paul Calvisi's questions here on Cardinals Underground.
And Paul dove into the turkey early, and the tryptophan has already kicked in.
See, usually he would have been making jokes that you were eating, but instead, we're going to have a Cardinals Underground here at sponsored by Ram, Guts, yeah. Glory Ram. Myself and Ron Wolfley here to talk Cardinals here, and obviously not a great way to come off the Falcons game, Wolf. I mean, defensively, they were fantastic. They forced six turnovers, and then you're sitting there with a loss, and it's hard to even imagine.
You know, to me, D, it was just so disheartening for this defense. You know, the defense, of course, up until the San Francisco 49er game, and, of course, followed up by the Green Bay game. They have played exceptionally well, I think, in every game, and they did have that hiccup there, as I said, in the middle of the season. But this was maybe their finest hour. The fact that they generated six takeaways is just an unimaginable number. That is a number you cannot even believe. And the fact that the Arizona Cardinals were plus five in the turnover margin and lost this game is almost unthinkable. I mean, it's something that you just do not see happen. And because of that, you know that this had to be so frustrating for this football team to lose that game on the road against a good football team, generate that kind of production in the turnover margin, and still lose that game. This is where leadership is going to be critical in that locker room.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Wolf, because you know, talking to a couple of defensive players after the game, I mean, obviously there were a couple guys who clearly didn't look all that thrilled, but you know, you get a guy like Darrell Washington standing up or even Kerry Rhodes to a certain extent and saying, you know, we've got to do more. And especially from Darrell's perspective, how he was saying it felt like very genuine. And that's a good sign, I suppose, in terms of keeping it together. But You've been on teams like this, I'm sure, at some point. I mean, how do you keep it together when one side of the ball is, you know, doing
exactly
it and the other side isn't?
Well, to answer your question, it comes down to leadership. It truly does. This is where you've got to have people. I am encouraged for the Arizona Cardinals because of the people that I have talked to, the players that I have talked to in the locker room. I'm talking about guys like Patrick Peterson. I'm talking about guys like Sam Acho. Talking about guys like Darrell Washington. These guys are forming the young nucleus and the future of that defense going forward. And those are just three guys that I have had the opportunity to speak to. And every one of them has said that they're talking about this. This is something that they're talking about in the locker room about, look, don't start pointing a finger. Don't start pointing that spiny, ruddy finger of blame. Don't start doing it because it's not going to be tolerated in this locker room. Oh, my. That is the kind of leadership that I am talking about right now. And the fact that it is coming from three young playmakers, and there are more. There are more that are out there. But the fact that it's coming from three young playmakers and the fact that they are talking about it fills me with a lot of encouragement for what may be possible going forward for the Cardinals.
We've talked many, many times right here on the Underground of a team that was going to have to rely on its defense first, that was going to have to get what it could out of the offense. And things have happened on the offense, and injuries have happened. I mean, I don't think anybody expected it to be where it is right now.
No.
But how do you climb out of that hole offensively at this point? I mean, I look at this team, you know, they'll get a couple guys back. They got Beanie Wells coming back. We're going to touch on that in a minute. But, you know, ultimately their guys are who they're going to have. And obviously the quarterback all of a sudden is not going to turn into Drew Brees. So where do you kind of go from here, you know, in terms of mentality?
Boy, I don't even know how to answer that question, D. I really don't. I do know this. I think that some of the coaches can take solace in the fact, and it's not much comfort, understand that, but you can take solace in the fact that, okay, let's see, Levi Brown, again, and we've talked about this many times, yeah, who many people believe, oh my goodness, how bad was Levi Brown? Well, we found out, as Paul Calvisi has said many times, it can always get worse, and it did out there at left tackle. The offensive line and the growing pains that the offensive line has gone through this year, it cannot be measured by human hands just how painful that process has been through the first half of the season. Then you talk about Beanie Wells, a guy that is coming back. You talk about Ryan Lindley?
Ryan Williams?
Ryan Williams. I don't even know why I spaced his name right there, because I'm all bunched up right now. I've got my nightie all bunched up over my neck here. But, you know, you talk about the injuries that have happened on that side of the ball.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get any type of continuity going, including your quarterback. And the fact that it happened the way that it did, where Kevin Cobb was deposed in preseason, John Skelton was a starter coming out of preseason, and then suddenly Kevin Cobb is thrust back into the limelight and plays his best football. The way that it happened in those four games, that was Kevin Cobb's best block of football since he has been here. And then he gets hurt. You know, Mike Miller, the offensive coordinator, sure, could you have maybe done something better, made a play call here, made a play call there, and you know my feeling about play calling and how overrated and exaggerated it is, right, as a component of offensive football. But, yeah, I'm sure Mike Miller probably would say, yeah, I'd like to do that, as every offensive coordinator is wont to do and would look back and say the exact same thing. But to me, again, trying to get any type of consistency on the offensive side of the ball has been a logical fallacy because of all the injuries. How do you do it? Your quarterback, your running backs, your offensive line.
Well, while we're talking about quarterbacks, you know, obviously Ryan Lindley comes into the game in Atlanta. I know I was a little bit surprised in terms of when it happened, and because of the circumstances. I know a lot of people have talked about it was a 13-0 lead. I'm not going to argue with anybody saying John Skelton had nothing to do with that 13-0 lead, because he really didn't. But it was still a little surprising to me. But on the same token, it didn't, given the fact that Coach Ken Wisenhunt had been talking since the bye began, off time began, that there could be changes, and with Kevin Cobb out with the injuries, you know, John Skelton, he's had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
There's no question he's had a lot of chances, and I do agree with some other of my cohorts who have made the analysis that this wasn't because he missed Larry Fitzgerald in the end zone.
Of course,
this is obviously a culmination of a lot of frustration on seeing the things that John was doing or not doing. You know, and we'll see where we go forward. It would seem most logical, again, given the circumstances, that Lindley would get a chance to start this week. We'll see what happens. But what did you see in particular out of Ryan Lindley?
Well, it's hard for me to talk about Ryan Lindley without talking about the quarterback situation overall. So if you don't mind here.
That's what we're here for, Wolf.
First of all, John Skelton is a guy you know that I love. Yeah. I think John Skelton has got a ton of intangibles. He's got some raw material that you can't teach. The problem for John Skelton has been the tangibles. And the things like reading coverage and making good decisions and not missing reads and being accurate once you do make a good read and have to throw the football. That has given John Skelton problems from time to time. And that's where that showed up in the 7 attempts he had against the Atlanta Falcons. It showed up there. It was a culmination. People that talked about, well, he missed Larry Fitzgerald in the end zone. It wasn't just that. It was missing reads as well. And it was being inaccurate a couple of times on a couple of passes. And I think the Arizona Cardinals said, you know what? We've got to do something different here. He's not an established quarterback. We can go with Ryan Lindley. We've got to do something to try to change it up. And because he's not an established quarterback, we can always put John Skelton back into a game. Or we can always name him the starter once again because he's not established. Once he's deposed and vitiated, if he were an established quarterback in front of his teammates, that's where it becomes problematic when you are an established quarterback. That is not the case with John Skelton. You could put him right back in and say, hey, this is about proving yourself. Go prove yourself once again. In terms of Ryan Lindley, I thought he had a solid game for being thrust into the game the way that he was on the road against a very good football team. He made a couple of very good reads and a couple of very good throws with a tendency of locking onto his receiver.
Which is what rookies do.
And that is, which is what rookies do. And it's one of the things he's going to have to get better at if he's going to be successful going forward. And it's one of the things that a young quarterback has got to learn and learn it early. Do not lock onto your receiver. Because NFL DBs, they will jump that all day long, especially with a lot of the zone concepts, the zone schemes that are being run in today's NFL.
Well, I know a lot of fans were hoping at some point to see Lindley, at least see what he's got. You know, they look at other rookie quarterbacks around the league having success. Of course, Ryan Lindley wasn't picked in the first round. He wasn't picked in the top 10 picks. He's a sixth-round pick. And I think expectations can't be that high for him. I mean, that doesn't mean they don't want him to succeed. But again, a six-round pick is a six-round pick for a reason. And I do think he's got some accuracy that maybe John Skelton doesn't have. But obviously, he does not have the experience. And, you know, it'll be very interesting how much he plays down the stretch and what he looks like and what that means going forward. Because, you know, I don't want to get too far forward. Sure. But, you know, you look into next year, you figure there's probably at least one new quarterback on this roster. So then out of these three, who's not here?
I don't know what the answer is to that question, but, you know, what about Ryan Lindley going forward? Do you think, is your gut feeling telling you that the Cardinals are going to go with Ryan Lindley, or is it going to be John Skelton? What's your gut tell you?
My gut says we're going to see more Lindley, at least until Kevin Cobb is healthy. Now, when will Kevin – I don't see Kevin Cobb playing this week. I mean, he still looks a little stiff when he's throwing the ball around because of the rib injury. I do think he's coming back. I do think they go back to him when he's healthy, unless, let's say, Ryan Lindley's playing.
I don't know
if
he's ever going to be healthy.
And he may not.
You know, when you stop and think about it, I mean, when your ribs are turned into fingers, and that's basically what happened, okay, that is a serious, serious injury, the way that it happened for Kevin Cobb. And, you know, it's great that he's getting better. It's great that he's re-engaging once again.
Right.
But I would imagine with 6 weeks left, we'd still be able to see Kevin Cobb.
Right.
The question is, what if Ryan Lindley starts getting some action here and starts playing well? And what if you actually win a game or two? And You know they're going to want to take a long look at Lindley, right?
I don't think there's any question about that. And I think you're right, and I think ultimately, I mean, if Lindley shows enough, then I can see them stay. I mean, I don't see any reason why not to stick with him. And I guess we'll find that out. And one of the things as we sit here on Cardinals Underground, brought to you by Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory Ram, one thing that helps a quarterback, no matter if it's Kevin Cobb or if it's Ryan Lindley or John Skelton for that matter, is if the running game plays better. And you got Beanie Wells coming back this week. You got Lerod Stevens-Howland coming off a 100-yard game. I mean, there's some caveats to it. Two runs get him 92 of those 127 yards, but still 100 yards. Beanie Wells is back. Can this offense rely on the running game to help whoever's playing quarterback?
I really think they have to. You know, again, yeah. I'll go back to the first four games of the season and the concerted effort there was with the Cardinals coaching staff to run the football and be as balanced as they possibly could. There was no denying the fact that they understood, even if we run into the pile, even if it's second and nine, second and eight, that's a lot better than maybe trying to throw the ball on first and 10 and it being second and 15, because you got sacked, or second and 17. I think for sure with Beanie Wells back, we're going to see the Arizona Cardinals continue to try to run the football more and help that quarterback out, because there is no denying that if you can stay three-dimensional offensively, it is a huge helper to your quarterback. And one of the biggest reasons why is because it's a huge helper to your offensive line, to allow them to be able to fire off the ball, to allow them to not have to block a guy like John Abraham through 46 pass attempts, you know, 45, 48, whatever it may be. You just don't want to get so predictable, so one-dimensional, especially when you've got an offensive line that has struggled.
Well, I know that, you know, Beanie told me this week that while he hated being out this long, his quote to me was that his knee, and again, he hurt his toe, which is why he went on IR, but his knee from this offseason, quote, wasn't even close to being healthy the first time when he went down. So, and now it is. Now it's healthy, and he feels 100%. And, you know, at least with the knee, we'll see how the toe reacts after tearing a ligament in there. So.
All I know is this, D. When Beanie Wells is healthy, he is a scary thing to behold.
Yes, he is.
Is he not? He is a scary element or component to defensive coordinators to try to stop. And more scary, I would say, to the players that are trying to tackle him. If we could see Beanie Wells, the Beanie Wells of last year, where he was running over people, if we see that guy back in the fold, man, there is no denying the fact that the Cardinals will try that much more to remain balanced.
Okay, so is this a little bit of karma here, Wolf? We got Beanie Wells coming back against a team that he set the franchise record for rushing yards in a game against last year. You're playing the Rams at home after a 6-game losing streak, which nobody wants, but that's the scenario that in which the Cardinals broke their 6-game losing streak last year against the Rams at home.
Sure.
I mean, is there some hope to be looked
There's
at?
There's no
going
denying.
Into this
oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. This is an opportunity for the Arizona Cardinals to get back into the win column, maybe build up a little bit of confidence. Maybe with Beanie Wells coming back, you've got Nate Potter that is coming along at left tackle. Bobby Massey is starting to play better. Do they get beat from time to time? Yes. Do they take a poor pass set on any given play? Yes. Is their technique a little rusty and needs to be refined? Absolutely. But you can see that these two young tackles are getting better. I mean, think back to the Atlanta game. This was a team that was number 11 in sacks per attempt coming into that game. Okay, sacks per attempt. They're a team in the top third of the league that can get to you, cause a little bit of pressure. Pressure did happen. We know that on the Ryan Lindley fumble.
A little bit.
But you didn't watch that game and say to yourself, oh, my goodness, this is just a jailbreak. And you can say that about the last three games. Now, a lot of it has to do with the fact that teams have been scheming to rush 4 and drop 7. But there's no denying the fact that the protection is getting better. And the reason why it's getting better, sorry about that, the reason why it's getting better, sweet
awesome.
Child, oh mine, a little Axl Rose here in the podcast. But the reason why it's getting better is because Nate Potter and Bobby Massey are getting better at their craft.
And I think too, Wolf, absolutely that, I mean, this is, not only do those other things tie into last year's breaking the streak, but this is the team, the Rams, that started the current losing streak for the Cardinals. And I think there's a chip from the Cardinals knowing that, you know, they went into St. Louis, I know it was a short week, that Thursday night game, and played poorly. They played poorly, and they got beat on a night where I think that down deep they feel like they beat themselves rather than, you know, the Rams beat them. I mean, obviously, there was 8 sacks or whatever it was, and the offensive line was not good at all for the Cardinals. But it was 17-3, and the defense came out sleepwalking, gave up an early touchdown. They gave up a couple big plays. Sam Bradford did hardly anything. Defensively, they played decently. And they need to make it happen. And I think going forward, I think this is one they really need to get. And to be honest, you know, This is scary if they don't get this one this weekend.
I would agree. Ding, ding, ding.
All right, so what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Wolf? I mean, anything good?
As a matter of fact, we're having the Calvisi clan over.
Really?
The Calvisi clan is going to come over to the compound, and yeah, we're going to sit down and break bread and let our two kids mingle with their two kids and let them just act like animals and run around the backyard, and we'll try to keep Paul from getting all liquored up with his Sierra Nevada. We'll try to calm him down a little bit and maybe put him in a chair, but I'm sure there's going to be turkey, and I'm sure there's going to be football.
Do you guys break into Cardinals Underground just spontaneously if you guys get together?
No, we don't, as a matter of fact. But I have to shut Paul up because he always wants to talk about cars.
Well,
interesting.
I did the best I could to fill in for Paul Calvisi. I don't know how good I did, but for myself and Ron Wolfley.
You hit it out of the park, Dave.
Jim Omohundro over there. This has been another edition of Cardinals Underground.
As far as you know.